We got John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies in the ACC, brought to you by Cowan Gates. And Lays, after that first weekend, man, it was just everybody bash on the ACC, everybody get wiped out except for North Carolina. But in the end, it's an ACC school standing. What was your reaction, your lasting impression to watch the Tar Heels win it all Monday night?
Well, first and foremost, for those that say that playing basketball in a football arena doesn't affect the shooting and offensive output, I think you got all the proof you needed, because that was one of the more abysmal shooting performances I've seen, not only from three, but from free throw line. It was an ugly game, but NC was the best team that Tech saw all year long, and I've said that since the day that we went into the Dean Dome and really were non-competitive against those guys, and that's how they win. They can crash the glass off nights where they're not shooting the basketball well, and I felt like that would carry them through the tournament on evenings when they didn't have it, and I didn't think they had it in either of their games in the Final Four, but they were just that physically imposing and that good. And I think the tournament, to go back to our old buddy Blaine Taylor and some of the things he said in reverse, the tournament can make rock stars out of average people. Well, the tournament can make average people out of rock stars, too, and I think that's kind of what happened to the ACC. So I think it's somewhat fitting, Wes, that they won the national championship, they being the ACC, in the form of North Carolina, because despite their poor performance in the tournament, it was, without question, the best conference in the country.
If you're John Swofford, if you walk into John Swofford's office tomorrow, does he have the football championship or the basketball championship as the first thing you see?
I think he's kind of cradling both under each arms, and he's just talking in that southern twang. I love Commissioner Swofford. He's such a good guy. But, what a year for him. And I think as he gets into the twilight years of his career, to see where the conference is has to be very gratifying for him, in all sincerity. So congratulations to him and his staff. It certainly has been a red-letter year.
First time the ACC has done it since, I think I saw yesterday, 1991, when it was Georgia Tech football and Duke basketball. John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. Big story in Blacksburg yesterday. Well, it was 2 days ago. Justin Fuente's contract redone. Yesterday he talked about it. What did the head coach have to say about his new deal?
Well, he was excited about it. I think the interesting thing in talking to him a little bit before it was announced was his level of surprise at how much he's been appreciated here, because I think he realizes that when he came in, yes, he had a very monumental task in replacing a certain Hall of Famer and a legend and the icon that Frank Beamer is, but Coach had done him the favor of leaving him a lot of talent. So he felt like what they did last year is what they should have done with what they had here, and I don't think he had any designs or thoughts that anywhere else was going to be the future. So when Whit Babcock and Desiree Reed-Francois went to him and said, hey, we want to even secure it further and we want to do this, he was kind of taken aback. But at the same time, you're not going to look at that and turn away when some of the other things in there include benefits for your assistants and all the things that we used to see with Shaka Watch every year in terms of parlaying success into more success and that becoming a cyclical thing. So he's excited about that. I think if anything, it just affirms where his mind is after what has arguably been a very exhaustive year and a half. So, all the obvious reactions to it from his standpoint personally, and I don't think it really changes much. We had the same conversation when Buzz Williams was extended last year, and there's no secret. Whit Babcock will tell you both publicly and privately that the foundation right now of Virginia Tech Athletics for at least year two marquee sports are those two head coaches, and he wants to do everything in his power to keep them here. So I don't think it was a surprise, and I certainly think it's a great thing.
I have tried to explain this many times, and I know some fans, they don't understand it. Some just don't want to understand it because they don't like it. As you said there, it's business. It is having that leverage. So few people in the world, in their job, and even in sports have that leverage. Fuente had a good year. Coach of the year, 10 wins, back in the top 25, back to the ACC championship game. He knows there's going to be growing pains down in the future. He knows that every year is going to be 10 wins. He wants it to be. But why not now use this to benefit? Because if I know this, I believe I read this right, his salary is not influenced next year. It's in the future years. But what he also did was he tacked on more years and more money.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's not the deal where everyone's like, well, he's locked up through 2023. We've seen that way too often in coaching where that's not necessarily the case. But at the same time, yeah, if you have the ability in that profession to add security for yourself and for your staff and for the foundation of your program, then you're going to go ahead and take that. And I think Whit Babcock, more so than any other AD at the moment, recognizes that, and he recognizes the minds of the people that are working for him and what might make them more comfortable. Because as Coach Fuente has said repeatedly, repeatedly, Wes. He says it almost every opportunity that I get. Right to the point that you just made is, yeah, 10 wins were great. We plan on going out and replicating that, if not improving upon that this year, but we're not guaranteed that that's going to happen. And he always talks about the fact that success is not going to be linear. It's not going to be something where it's an ascension each and every week out or an ascension each and every year. And there are going to be setbacks, and it's not a perfect world. And I think things like this just ease everyone's minds for the times when that isn't the case.
John Lazor with us on Fox Sports 910. And then Fuente went from the contract to the real deal of next year and kind of opened up about his concerns of the wide receivers. We've talked about this before, but he has some legit concerns about that wide receiver spot.
Yeah, he does, and that wasn't a secret, and I think you'll recall him talking that way about the quarterback position last year during spring practice, and it's a very honest appraisal. The media got the watered-down version of what I got on the sideline of practice last week in talking about where the receivers are. I think he feels that there's a ton of talent there, so I think sometimes his frustration level comes with the fact that they don't get it quite as quickly as he would like them to, but I think he is encouraged by what he's seen during spring, and I think he does honestly feel as though they're going to get back into a place where they can still rev it up offensively through the receiver position. And I see that. I think you're just going to have to rely more on people that haven't necessarily taken the snaps. And in the past, that may have been guys like a C.J. Carroll who'd been on the roster for a while and hadn't taken snaps, whereas this year it's going to be guys that literally haven't been in a uniform very much. Khalil Pimpleton, I think, has opened some eyes. He's going to be a true freshman. Dalton Keene, who potentially will be in that tight end H-back type spot, I think is going to get some run as a true freshman this year, and those weren't conversations we were having last year, so it's definitely a different picture. Not that we didn't know that going in with the departures that you had.
What do you know about, and I don't even know if this is officially done because I don't think I saw anything, or even if there is a release from the school, what do you know about this grad transfer from Ohio State? Because I know he's a wide receiver, doesn't have a lot of experience, but he looks like he's headed in the direction of Blacksburg.
Well, I think the overriding theme that you're going to get from this offense this year is speed, and that's what I'm seeing. And I think the offense is going to look completely different. If you've noticed Coach Fuente, and I'll get back to James Clark, who you're talking about in just a sec, Wes, because he fits that picture. But if you notice what Coach Fuente has said, and it's something that I think I've said on this show a number of times, is I don't think we really saw the offense that Justin Fuente and Brad Kornelson are completely comfortable running last year because you had an embarrassment of riches in Isaiah Ford and Bucky Hodges. So you tailored the offense to them, whereas normally it's more of a screen and go, slant and angle offense with speed. And I think the profile of James Clark fits that very well, much like who I just mentioned, Khalil Pimpleton and Henry Murphy is also in that mold, the track type athletes. That's what Clark is. He was a four-star receiver going into Ohio State. Generally, that doesn't carry the cachet that it would at some other programs nationally, and he got lost on the depth chart due to some injuries, and his opportunity wasn't there. So he's in a very interesting position in the fact that he has graduated. He'll be eligible to play right away this fall, but he has 2 years of eligibility remaining, so he's essentially a JUCO transfer in that respect, but he also comes from the winning pedigree out of Urban Meyer's program. So great get. I think it was one as some injuries mounted during spring camp that the Hokies felt like they needed to add some more depth from where maybe they were originally on the roster, and it's definitely a positive for this football team.
Are you pro or con grad transfer rule?
I'm kind of on the fence. I don't mind it as much in football as I do in basketball, just because one player can essentially change your entire roster and outlook, and I think that it's become a crutch for some coaches that have gone out and aren't exactly beating it on the recruiting trail in basketball. It's not something that I have a violent reaction to, but I certainly wouldn't mind if it went away.
John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff. You got a question for Lays, you want to talk spring football with him, you can go hit him up on Twitter at LazVT. We're not done here.